Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the broadcast today, Shannon Pierce, an attorney with Fenimore Craig, and Alex Goff, the Democratic National Committeeman, on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Hello, is this D&D Roofing?
Yes, it is. How may I help you?
You did such a great job on my roof. May I speak to the owner?
I am an owner.
Oh, can I speak to your supervisor?
Sure.
How may I help you?
I love your work. May I speak to the owner?
I am an owner. We're all owners. Well, that's why at D&D we work so hard to keep your home safe and sound.
Oh, no wonder.
D&D Roofing and Sheet Metal. Local, employee-owned, here for you.
Retail's impact on Nevada's economy? Enormous. 8,600 businesses, large and small, employing 145,000 workers. And last fiscal year, retail paid tax on nearly $60 billion in sales. We're the Retail Association of Nevada. We support retail. We help it grow. And we mean business.
RANNV.org.
Take a look at Pro Group Management and see how your workers' comp requirements can be met head-on. By taking a proactive approach, Pro Group can assure that your company is meeting or exceeding state and federal standards. As you move forward in your industry, Pro Group moves with you, simplifying regulatory tasks, clearing the way so you can get the job done and look to your future success. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you.
Early in the morning or throughout the night, professional truck drivers are on the job, serving you, safely moving freight that's crucial to our economy. From the oldest industries to our newest innovators, from the exotic to the everyday, trucks are everywhere, moving everything. Never afraid to embrace a future that makes Nevada and our nation stronger. Trucking moves America forward.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shan, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shan.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're pleased to welcome back to the program Shannon Pierce. She's an attorney with Fenimore Craig, specializing in employment and labor. Pleasure to have you back on the program, not so much because of the circumstances.
Well, thank you for having me.
You're welcome. And we're taping this on the morning of Wednesday, March 18th, so it's the day after the governor has made his statement about shutting down all non-essential businesses in the state. Give me first your reaction to that.
It's going to be tough on employers for sure. I mean, we have businesses out there that are struggling to make ends meet as it is, and now not only are they going to have to continue to pay the light bill, but they're going to have to put their workers out on leave for, you know, potentially 30 days, potentially longer.
And what does this mean in real terms? I mean, are you looking at, you know, because let me back up a second. So the federal government is saying that they're putting together a plan. Congressman Amade was saying potentially $1.2 trillion, which is an unfathomable amount of money. But yet, businesses are going to have a very hard time applying for loans when they're already teetering on the edge. How do you think this is going to work?
Well, I think we're going to have to take a wait-and-see approach. I mean, not only is the federal government trying to put together the federal stimulus package, but also the House passed the Paid Family Leave Act, which contains not only general paid family leave, but also emergency family leave. Now, there is a carve-out for portions of that to be reimbursed for small employers, but portions of it aren't. So if we're asking businesses not only to shut their doors and stop their revenue, but also pay for employees to be out, that is going to be potentially catastrophic.
So is this going to be, and I'm not being rude when I ask you this, this is just a simple question, is this going to be a field day for lawyers and lobbyists here? Because you have blanket statements from the federal government, blanket statements coming from the states, and it seems like, you know, one of the responses has to be battles in the courts.
I'm going to say yes and no. I mean, I think the legal community is trying to support businesses around here by offering, you know, certain free services. You know, there are firms, including mine, who are putting on free seminars to just get people basic information about what to do right now. So there are definitely lawyers that are trying to not just take an immediate profit off of this.
No, and I, you know, honestly, I didn't mean it like
that.
What I meant was that, as businesses come under these rules, mm-hmm. That they are going to seek relief. And if they don't get relief from state or local or federal government, that they're going to have to file lawsuits to be able to maintain the ability for their businesses to survive.
Oh, yeah, and that's where I was heading next. I think that those lawsuits are coming, as well as lawsuits from employees trying to figure out what their rights are during this time. And we have a situation right now that implicates so many different employment laws, from OSHA to the ADA to maybe WARN to all sorts of different laws, where we're all struggling as a community to figure out how does a pandemic like COVID-19 interplay with the laws we already have in place.
What happened in previous pandemics or extreme viral cases, H1N1, the swine flu, others like that? Did we have any kind of situation like this?
We didn't have as much litigation as I think we'll see this time, simply because H1N1 did not lead to shutdowns like we're seeing here. That said, the EEOC and other agencies did put out guidance back in the H1N1 days that are guiding us now as to what employers should do.
The call has been to shut down businesses mainly that deal with large quantities of people, so casinos, bars, restaurants, etc. But other businesses are being allowed to continue on because they don't have that many people, or their back office, attorneys, for example, accountants. Do you envision legal challenges from other businesses saying, well, if they can do it, why can't we?
It's quite possible. Although even businesses that are more back office, like accountants and attorneys, are having to figure out what are their obligations during a time like this. OSHA requires every employer to maintain a safe working environment. What does that look like right now? Does that mean that we need to be asking people to work from home, which is necessarily going to decrease productivity and other things like that? So even the businesses that are allowed to be staying open are still taking a hit.
It just seems that We are heading to a time of great uncertainty for the business world, and you have obviously great experience in this area. The time that it will take to come back seems to be a long time. This is not something, even if the shutdown is only for a month, that's going to cause a calamity across the state.
It could very well. Yeah, we just don't know the far-ranging impacts that this shutdown is going to have, and even if it is only 30 days, it could be longer.
All right, so let's start with some, what you perceive as of today is practical advice, A, for employers, and let's start with small employers. What's your advice to them?
Number one is stop and take a hard look at how you run your business. Are there aspects to your business that are unique in the sense that they are customer-facing positions that you have people in, or otherwise you present a risk of employees contracting COVID-19? If those factors exist, you need to start taking a look at how you can modify those jobs in order to continue to provide a safe working environment. Also, we need to look at whether telecommuting might be something that you need to offer to your employees. Let me give you an example there. If you have employees that are immunocompromised or of a certain age, the Americans with Disabilities Act for those who are immunocompromised might require you to allow them to work from home right now. But we have to be looking at it from an individual basis and a company by company basis. Also need to keep a very close eye on what's going on at the federal level. The paid family leave that's being proposed and is going to the Senate soon is in some ways similar to what Nevada already has, and is in some ways very different. So employers need to keep track of what's going on there, because their policies that were just drafted in 2019 when paid sick leave became available in Nevada may soon be out of date already.
What about large companies? And people have pointed out, it's kind of scary to read Facebook these days because there's so much misinformation there. But people are talking about large companies in Nevada that are not forward serving in terms of direct customer relations on the factory floor. But for example, an Amazon or a Barnes & Noble distribution plant. What advice do you have for those kind of companies?
Well, in that situation, companies need to be looking at their hygiene practices and their social distancing practices. Maybe increasing the space between employees. Also looking for signs that somebody's infected. If somebody has a persistent cough, it may be time for them to go home.
Do you think that we're going to be in a situation where if one person, and I don't want to hit on Amazon, but just a company that does distribution, that one person is sick, that you're going to have to shut down that whole building?
Not necessarily. I think it's going to really require a case-by-case analysis. The employee is already segregated in an office space or in a space that's not really, really close to other people, I don't think that necessarily mandates a shutdown, although it's certainly going to require companies to consult with their counsel about how much information to provide to the government and to fellow employees. We have a balancing act we need to do there, where on the one hand, you want employees to know that there's been exposure, but on the other hand, the person who became exposed and became sick has privacy rights.
Very complex. Let's take a break. We'll come back with more with Shannon Pierce after this.
Ahern Rentals began as Signal Gas Station on Las Vegas Boulevard. Founder John Ahern grew the business by offering rentals. His son Don built on John's legacy, growing Ahern Rentals into the largest independently owned American rental company with 89 locations in 30 states. Don also brought his experience and vision to equipment manufacturing with Extreme Manufacturing and Snorkel. Today, Ahern Rentals continues to bring its family values to a new generation. Learn more at ahern.com.
Hi, I'm Eric Robnett, owner of Home Energy Experts. Has this ever happened to you?
Honey, did you remember to turn down the thermostat?
Forgetting to set the temperature? Not fun. We can help. Our new smart thermostat keeps the temperature set for your comfort all by itself.
I'm feeling hot now.
To increase your comfort, go to homeenergyexperts.com for details. That's homeenergyexperts.com.
The signs and symptoms of cataracts can start out small with subtle changes in your vision. So don't wait. Be proactive and take your vision into your own hands. If you're experiencing the onset of cataracts or just have questions, contact your eye care professional or call Eye Care Associates of Nevada today. Dr. Hiss has years of experience specializing in the surgical correction of eye disorders and has completed over 84,000 vision-correcting procedures. At Eye Care Associates of Nevada, we'll change the way you look at the world.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Shannon Pierce. She's an employment and labor attorney with Fenimore Craig. What about employees who refuse to come to work out of fear?
Very, very tough questions that are posed by that. I mean, let's talk individually and then let's talk in the aggregate. Individually, if an employee is immunocompromised or otherwise has a reason to have a genuine concern about contracting the virus, then the Americans with Disabilities Act may require you to allow them to work from home or allow them some form of leave. That's on an individual basis. On the aggregate, if employees in a group say, we're not coming to work right now, the employer should be careful not to just simply say, that's it, you're out of here. Because, you know, for example, the National Labor Relations Act allows people to band together to protest working conditions. And it's an open question right now as to whether potential coronavirus exposure is a working condition that the Labor Relations Act would support.
And one final question here. If people are working from home, how do you track that? And are you allowed to?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we still have standard methods that we can use in order to track time. You know, if it's an hourly employee, you still expect them to fill out their time card, and you still expect them to sign at the bottom, which certifies that they're telling the truth in their time card. Now, is there a foolproof way to guarantee that employees are working from the moment they sign on to the moment that they sign off? No, especially in households with children, that's pretty unlikely. In some senses, it's going to be a mutual trust scenario. Some employers have been asking whether or not they can install cameras in order to track. Let's not go so far as to putting cameras in our employees' homes. Let's start with trust and go from there.
All right, that's where we got to leave it. Thank you for coming in, Shannon. I really appreciate it. And we'll be right back.
Dimitri Prine here for Design Outdoor. At Design Outdoor, we specialize in all hardscapes, pavers, and walls you'll need for everything, from wonderful small yards to full-blown outdoor living. And we only refer the best contractors to make your vision a reality. Our store and backyard are located at 11600 South Virginia, just north of DeMonte Ranch Parkway. Visit designoutdoor.com or call us at 851-9499.
I'm men's rights attorney Marilyn York, and because I represent men in all family law matters, women often call me gender traitor, woman hater, and even disgusting. So why represent men and target myself with these offensive monikers? It's simple. Children with fathers in their lives are 6 times less likely to drop out of school, 15 times less likely to go to prison, and 5 times less likely to commit suicide. So ladies, you can hate me, but please love your children more than you hate their fathers.
Hi, I'm Dave Newman. Remember me? I used to be the house detective, and now I'm a realtor, full-time at RE/MAX Realty Affiliates. A lot of people ask me, how's the market? You know what? It's fantastic. If you're even kicking around the idea of buying or selling, give me a call. Let's talk about it. Call me at RE/MAX Realty Affiliates and just ask for the guy who used to be the house detective, Dave Newman.
The signs and symptoms of cataracts can start out small with subtle changes in your vision. So don't wait. Be proactive and take your vision into your own hands. If you're experiencing the onset of cataracts or just have questions, contact your eye care professional or call Eye Care Associates of Nevada today. Dr. Hiss has years of experience specializing in the surgical correction of eye disorders and has completed over 84,000 vision-correcting procedures. At Eye Care Associates of Nevada, we'll change the way you look at the world.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're always pleased to welcome Alex Scoff back to the program. He's a Democratic National Committeeman from Northern Nevada. Initially, we were just going to talk politics, and now, of course, with the things that have occurred, we're taping this the morning of Wednesday, March 18th, so people have an idea of when we're taping this. Give me, first of all, your reaction to the governor's statement last night.
The governor made a very bold decision last night in deciding to close down businesses that could potentially cause a lack of social distancing, so casinos, bars. This weekend we went out to Midtown to order some takeout, and there was a lot of people congregated in Midtown. And so these decisions make sense on their face, but they're going to have far-lasting ramifications for our economy. And so this wasn't a decision I think the governor took very lightly. You know, information is changing by the hour, and sometimes I joke that what decisions I made 2 weeks ago were probably reckless, given what we know now. And so right now, with the governor and our congressional delegation, county commissioners and mayors, they're being presented with information hour by hour that is ever changing, and different decisions are needing to be made to kind of flatten the curve, as they're saying. I'm sure this term has come up a lot of times this week on your show. And so sometimes they may feel like they're acting in a high capacity, but later they may find out they didn't do enough. And so, you know, I think the governor made a very bold and strong decision last night, but I think it may not be the last decision he has to make.
We've been talking on the program so far about big communities like Las Vegas and Reno, but you've been in conversation with our friend Daniel Corona, who is the mayor of West Wendover. What is he saying about the effect on his community?
So, I mean, the one thing that, you know, he's brought up is testing. There is not testing available, especially in communities that far-reaching. You know, one thing that I think about for a community like his is an issue he's always advocated for is health care. A lot of times throughout this presidential conversation, we talk about demand for health care, and obviously a pandemic is going to cause a lot of demand for health care. But now I think we're having the right conversation, which is supply of health care. And so we're looking at how to deploy things like ventilators and how to create more supply for health care. And so I hope after this is a conversation we continue to have, because a community like his, there's a demand for health care as well. But if you issue someone health insurance, that's not going to be any good. And so there needs to be, I think, further conversations even after this about supply of health care. And then, you know, decisions that he has to make as a city on an hour-by-hour basis. And like I just said, you know, is he being bold enough in this moment? And, you know, I told him about, you know, in the military, we were taught the OODA loop, right, which is orient, look at the problem, and then you orient, observe, direct, and then you act. And so having a decision-making process is important. I think we saw yesterday the mayor, you know, she was...
Mayor of Reno, you're talking
Mayor
about.
Of Reno was criticized for a decision she had made, right, which I think was the right decision, but it was the process maybe and where she came to that decision and notifying others that she had made that decision. But they don't give you a playbook when there's a pandemic. But you certainly still have to fall back on strong decision-making technique or practices. So,
And the other thing about West Wendover is that it's a community that entirely relies on gaming and the majority of its business coming from Utah, that's completely shut down.
Absolutely. I mean, that was the conversation he had had, because they actually fly people in from Utah to go to their gaming, their casinos. And so many people are relying on those casinos to pay their employees on a day-to-day basis, and now they're going to be shuttered for what looks to be 30 days. And so what a hit that's going to have to his city just generally is something that, how would you even begin to navigate that? And so it's something he's still trying to wrap his head around. But I mean, again, how could you even begin to navigate that?
Let's talk about politics here. It seems since Joe Biden's win in South Carolina, that the election on the Democratic side has been pretty much over.
It looked different before Nevada, didn't it?
It certainly did. What are your thoughts, and what is the ability for the Bernie Sanders voters to now coalesce around Joe Biden? Is that even possible?
Absolutely, I think that's possible. I mean, listen, right now it's very tough to think about and make political decisions, and I think the candidates are trying to navigate this as well. You know, we have a number of local elections as well and local primaries that are going to be very heavily contested. But I think that it's important for Joe Biden to continue to work within his channels to ensure that people, not only from the campaigns that have dropped out, but from Senator Sanders, to ensure those people feel comfortable voting for him in November. And you know, it's hard to fathom Senator Sanders continuing to stay in, considering the delegate lead is so substantial now on Joe Biden's side. And it certainly didn't look like that prior to Nevada. The conversations post-Nevada, I think, was this unstoppable Senator Sanders juggernaut, so that changed very quickly. And so throughout this pandemic, lack of understanding, social upheaval, we have to somehow figure out how to coalesce the party and win an election, but that seems like such a forethought. But it's still, you know, elections still have to happen. I was very concerned with what I saw out of Ohio about them delaying the election. The primary. I mean, these things have to still continue to happen. And so I don't know where it would rank on an elected leader's list of decisions they have to make, but it's a decision they have to make. We have to still carry out the functions that are vital, and I would consider an election to be vital, but yet still keep people safe. And so, you know, again, you know, we send men and women to combat every day. And so those are tough decisions that are made on the ground, and you can make the best decision and someone may still pass away. And so these are the type stressors and pressures that are on our elected officials right now. All of our elected leaders may make the right decision right now, and it still may result in someone passing away, but that didn't mean it wasn't the right decision. And so, you know, we have to just follow through and make sure that decision-making processes are in place and relied upon in this moment.
And I think it's also important to point out that, as you said earlier, the attempt here is to flatten the curve, to stop the increase in people getting sick so that we don't overwhelm the hospitals when the vulnerable populations need to have that hospital care. It's not that this is going to stop the virus. It's a virus. It's
Correct.
Going to continue.
Correct.
And most people will not suffer greatly from it, but there is a vulnerable population, mostly older people and with other health conditions, who will need help. So I think it's important for us to note that the entire population does not need to be in a panic that everybody's going to die, because that is not the situation.
Correct, absolutely. I mean, like you said, there are a number of high-profile people who have shared their stories with broad-based media, who basketball players, as an example, who have shown no symptoms, no signs. And from what I understand, that's going to be the majority of the population. They may get it, have no symptoms and signs. But for the people who are vulnerable, it's important that we take these measures and steps to protect them. Anyone who's immunocompromised, anyone who's older of age, anyone that has a pre-existing condition where this will affect, really we're taking these steps and measures to where we can protect their lives. Yesterday I called my grandfather. My grandfather just turned 81. And, you know, he is bunkered down, very concerned, very scared. He told me flatly that this is going to kill someone like him. And so we need to take measures and steps to make sure that we're not putting people's lives in unneeded, reckless position.
The census, Commissioner Burke Bigler was on the program of Washoe County. Do you have concerns about the census as well as regards Nevada?
Absolutely. I mean, I think that right now we have to be concerned about a number of things. Voting I brought up earlier, but you just mentioned the census. You know, Carrie Dermrick, who's leading the census outreach for the state of Nevada, is someone I talk to regularly, and how to do outreach in this time where you can't have people congregate because you have to maintain social distancing. How are you going to, a lot of the things they had in place, which were posting at a position where a lot of people go publicly to be able to take the census on a community laptop, well, those things are out the window now. And so how to ensure that everyone is counted that way, so we receive our federal funding and we receive an accurate count, so that way we can properly analyze and make decisions moving forward for the next 10 years. These things are very important, but it's leaders in this time need a concern, I think, with their vector of fire, right? Make issues aware, make people aware of concerns that they have, but trust that people whose position it is to concern themselves with it, you know, if this thing could be extended to the fall, or if there's some way that they can make sure that they give people enough time. The online component, which I would encourage everyone to go to census.nv.gov, the online component is very huge in this time, with so many people are teleworking and working from home, or even if they are in their normal workspace, you have the opportunity to complete the census at home. I would encourage everyone to do that. It takes 10 minutes, it's very short, and make sure that your household gets counted, because this is going to be vital.
And that's where we have to leave it. Alex, thank you very much for coming in today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
And we'll be right back.
A bird's eye captures its surroundings at different heights. At Brian Culpa Photography, we can make your imagination soar over buildings, parks, cityscapes, and beyond. Brian's images tell the story and get the job done. If you need a new perspective to tell your story, contact Brian today. Brian Culpa Photography. Experience the bird's eye view at brianculpaphotography.com.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to marilynminer.com.
As you know, Reno is booming. Toll's Development Company is helping it grow with insightful design and development, building community with every project, adding beauty, adding excitement, emphasizing our shared humanity. Reno is becoming bigger. Toll's Development is helping it become better, more livable, more enjoyable. To learn more, go to tollsdevelopment.com. tollsdevelopment.com.
Pro Group Management is the place where companies can find workers' comp solutions that are designed to meet their specific business requirements. As regulations evolve, Pro Group takes a proactive approach to clear the path to make sure your business stays ahead of the curve. Knowing your workers' comp program is optimized, you can focus on other important matters related to your growing business. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you.
You can now watch Nevada Newsmakers on YouTube. Just go to YouTube and search for Nevada Newsmakers and become a subscriber. We'll see you on the next broadcast. Thanks for watching and listening.